for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Labor Day Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, September the 4th, 2016, Nikki Pinson is a speaker of the service teaching on the finger of God.
So this morning our brother Nikki's going to come forward and he's going to share what the Lord our God has put on his heart for us. Let us have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say and an eye to see what he would show us. And Father, I thank you for the anointing that would be on his tongue to bring forth the message that you desire. And Lord, let us hear and gladly receive as we eat once again from the Master's table. In Jesus' name, amen.
It is a privilege to stand here and to preach to you. I want to talk this morning about the finger of God. And as a subtitle on God's chessboard, there's a lady and I was in our church years ago. And she came to me, she was just very upset. And she said, I'm tired of being a pawn on God's chessboard. She felt like she was being jerked here and jerked there. Let me tell you something. That's what this is about. If you don't want to be a pawn on his chessboard, you're in the wrong thing. Because it's going to be his way or the highway or no way. And it's not about what I want or about what you want. It's not about our little goals for life. We want to get to this. We want to get to that. It's what he wants. One thing about Christianity and what it really means to serve God is that you give up yourself and you follow him. Rich young ruler couldn't do that. Wouldn't do that. Went away sorrowful. And by the way, the Lord let him go.
Yeah.
You think he's going to chase you down with a butterfly net, try to catch you or hog tie you? It's not going to happen. And so basically, it ends up on us. You young ladies that are in this ministry, it's wonderful what God's doing for you there. But one day you'll walk out of there and you won't have each other. You better have God. You better find God because I tell you, temptation's coming. For all of us, whether we're in a ministry or not. It happens if you're a preacher. You can preach an awesome sermon and go home and the devil tempt you and you fail. Some of my biggest failures have been after the greatest blessings and experiences with God. And that's just the way it goes. Part of it is because when we think, beware when we think we stand, lest we fall. Praise God, Lord. Let me say this for the lady that said that to me. I preached her funeral a few years ago. She got angry at me because I mentioned smoking. You know, I told people they ought not to be smoking. I think it's real interesting because the doctor can tell them that. They don't get mad at the doctor. That's the truth. If you let the preacher say it, you got problems. That's right. My doctor, I had a physical, and he looked at my stomach and he said, you need to do something about that. But I can stand up here and tell you, you need to do something about it. You're mad at me. You know, I'm meddling. I need to shut up. I need to whatever. That's just the way it is. Praise God. Lord, thank you for your word and for everyone that's been here, that is here. And we just give you praise and glory. We ask you to speak to our hearts. Lord, we ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and show yourself mighty. Manifest your presence. Manifest your power in this place. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Look with me, please, Luke, if you have your Bibles, Luke 2, verse 25. Now, this is, they brought Jesus to the temple to dedicate him after the law. And verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. One time I played Simeon in a Christmas play. Didn't know anything about him, but that's what I did. And the same man was just and devout. Catch those words, just and devout. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. At the end of the Lord's, after he has been resurrected, there's another man, Joseph of Arimathea. It's in chapter 23, verse 51. And he comes and begs for the body of Christ. And you know what it says? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Same thing. So here's one at the beginning, and then there'll be one at the end that are waiting for the consolation of Israel, comfort of Israel. This is good. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. That means all the difference. I tell you, if you're angry and mad, or you get in a fight, I don't think the Holy Ghost is on you. Mm-hmm. And a lot of other things. But the Holy Ghost was upon him. That's key to what's going to happen. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. Are we catching that? Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost.
Come on.
Can't talk too much about the Holy Ghost. Some people say you put too much emphasis on, listen, Jesus preached the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you, when John the Baptist introduced him, of all the things he could have said about Jesus, he said, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. He didn't say he's going to come heal you. He's going to save you. He said he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, and they said, brethren, what must we do? I mean, tell us, you know. They're pricked in their hearts. What must we do? And of all that, he could have said, well, you come confess Christ. You're going to repeat a prayer after us. You're going to do this or that. He said, repent you and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive this gift. That's an interesting. That's nothing. He didn't say ask Jesus into your heart. You know, that's not. That's only been that little phrase and thing that people do. It's called parroting. We parrot so much. We hear somebody say it. We see, hear somebody do it, and then we're doing it. And we don't even look to see if it's scriptural, if it's a scriptural basis for it. And I can tell you, in every church, there's things going on that have no scriptural basis. They're just parroting it. So anyway, the Holy Ghost. It was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost. If it didn't come by the Holy Ghost, leave it alone. That he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, he's an old man. I wonder sometimes if he's about ready to give up. Maybe when he was having a little trouble getting around, maybe when his Social Security check got cut off, I don't know, when whatever. And he said, Lord, you know. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. Oh, how different it'd be if we came to the house of God in the Spirit. You know, instead of we just barely had to shut the TV off and grab our whatever and take off for church. And people come to church and it takes you 30 minutes or an hour to get them in the Spirit because they've been in everything else. They had an argument. They had an argument with each other on the way to church or this or that, or, you know, and come here. And you got to work for a long time just to get them in the Spirit. That goes back to what I was telling you. If you can't feel God while you're by yourself, if you can't come into His presence while you're by yourself, there's something wrong. I'm not trying to put you down or hurt your feelings. I'm just telling you. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he, that Simeon, took him up in his arms, this baby. Now look, there's no halo on over his head, despite what some of those pictures show, you know, in your old Bibles. He took him up in his arms, and he blessed him and said, why, how did he know which baby that day? Because this every male's brought in. I mean, how do you know which one? The Holy Ghost. Praise God, you don't, the Holy Ghost, you're going to miss your bus. Holy Ghost, you're going to miss a lot of things. And so he said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for mine eyes have seen your salvation. What did he see? He saw a person. A person. It's not a program. It's not a set of rules. It's a person. It's when in Romans chapter 7, verse 25, he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. That's how you're going to quit being a wretched person. He didn't say, I thank God through this program that got down here at this church, or this Celebrate Recovery, or this 12-step program, or this. He said, it is a person. Amen. And if we don't come to know this person, we're going to miss it all. There are two kinds of people sitting on church pews, those that know about the Lord and Christ, and those that know Him. And there's not very many that know Him. But there's some of them that's so religious, and they can... There's a man went to our church for quite a while till went to our church for quite a while, and I'd be preaching, and I'd start to quote a verse, and he'd quote it. He'd try to finish it before I did, out loud. This just goes on all the time. I'd call him down, he'd shut up for a little while, and he's doing it again. And I'm going to say a lot more about that, but he doesn't come anymore. I'll tell you, I got it. He came one night. Well, you need to know this. He came by. We were working on a house for assistant pastor, a little small mobile home. And he came up, and he's always so religious. He'll meet you at Walmart and grab your hand and pray for you in front of everybody, looking to make sure everybody's seeing you, this kind of thing. His favorite phrase is, you're not blessed, you're cursed. You know, and well, I'm sorry, Lord. Well, anyway, he come up there and he was telling me about a certain lady in the church that he used to be married to, and not anymore, because she married somebody else, and that's thank God. And anyway, so he said, telling me how whatever, and acting like she's so religious and all, and she does get blessed. I mean. Are there people in your church that if they don't show up, you don't have church? And I don't mean behind the pulpit, you know, but she really worships God. And so he's telling me all this, and I said, well, wait a minute, I'm going to tell you something. I heard that you went to somebody's house because your electricity got cut off, and you were saying GD this and GD that. How'd you hear that? He ran, got in his truck, took off, and almost tore the mailbox off. Leaving, he hadn't been around again. Praise God. I hope I don't do too many more of those. I'm going to take too much time. But so he came by the Spirit in the temple, and when the parents brought him in, I don't think you ought to go to Walmart without the Holy Spirit, you know, or wherever you go. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, a person which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon, whatever we think about Mary and Joseph, you know, she pondered in her heart, look, even when he's ministering one time, that she and some of his siblings came to get him because they thought he lost it. They thought he's crazy. Don't take him, you know. And the feast, and his brothers came and said, you need to go to Jerusalem and show off, you know, show what you can do. He said, no, it's not my time to go, but you can go anytime. I'm going to tell you, if you and I can go anywhere or do anything anytime we want to, there's another problem. But he said, I can't go. Later on, the Holy Spirit let him go. You know, just running with the crowd, just doing whatever pleases people. Got to get this down, folks, because there's a devil waiting at the other end of your little thing you're going to do that's going to get you. And when I was growing up, you said you sang a kid's song. You didn't sing the one you're supposed to sing, by the way. But when I was growing up a kid, we sang, the devil is a sly old fox. If I could catch him, I'd put him in a box. Lock the box and throw away the key for all those tricks he's played on me. Is that right?
Yeah.
I thought, yeah, you're going to catch the devil and you're going to put him in a box. And you're going to like, oh yeah, well I want to see this. You let me know because I want to come see when you do. Can I say something going to offend some people? And you saying, I'm going to the devil's camp, took back what he stole from me. Oh, you are? You are? Let me know when you do and bring it back. I want to come see it. I ain't going to do nothing. We're not going to do anything. Only God can do those things, if He even wants you to have those things back. Maybe the Lord let them take them because you didn't need them. Sorry, you know, but I'm just telling you. There's so many songs we sing, people need to stop and look at the song. I know a church that, a man that goes to a church, and he said that when the service gets slow and kind of boring, they got two songs they'll drag out. One of them is, I'm going to enemy's camp to take back what he stole from me. Boy, they'll get with that one. That's wonderful. But I'll tell you what, for the most part, when you're singing that, people are singing that, what you're thinking about is your car, your TV, your job, and all this. You're not thinking about anything spiritual. It's very selfish what we're thinking about. You say, well, maybe that's, Brother Pinch, you just don't know. Well, I'm just telling you. Okay, so let me say something so you get that past that.
Yeah, amen.
I'm trying to hurt your feelings. I'm not trying to offend you. I didn't come here to offend you.
Yeah.
There's so much that we need to look at of what we're saying and what we're doing and what we're parroting. Just because a man wrote a song with a cute little tune to it doesn't mean we have to swallow the thing and be part of it. So, and Joseph and his mother marveled, and Simeon blessed him, and now listen to this, and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. Oh, he was. And for a sign which shall be spoken against. I want to tell you right now, you and I are set for a sign to be spoken against. You and I, there's a contest, if that's kind of a crude way to, term to call it. But you and I are we're a pawn on his chessboard. And the other guy's trying to, I used to play chess, never was good at it, so I quit it. But there's, he's all checkmate, whatever they call that. And that's what's going on if you want to see a picture of it. There's a real devil. It goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And that's why we have to be sober and be vigilant. So he's going to be a sign to be spoken against. If we think that we're going to be a sign that everybody's going to applaud us, we're wrong. A sign to be spoken against. One time I'd gone to the hospital to pray for a young lady in our church. She later died of cancer. And her mother was the devil incarnate almost. Okay. So backslidden. Assembly of God woman used to speak in tongues and all, but I've learned one thing, when they backslide, they get mean.
Amen.
Their kids get mean. I saw that in my own church. There's a lady in our church, I prayed for God, touch her, touch her daughters, but her husband said, if you don't quit going to that holy road of church, I'm going to divorce you. So she quit coming. He divorced her anyway, but she got so mean, I mean absolutely mean, to the point she would curse me, lie on me, call me up, whatever. But that's just the kind of thing that happens when we go back on God. Now, a sign to be spoken against. So I'd gone there and to pray for that young lady in the hospital. She had cancer, liver cancer, and they had done surgery on her. And we stopped coming. We were on our way back from Mexico when this all happened. And we stopped at Baylor Hospital in Dallas. And I went in to pray for her. Everything's wonderful. Her mother's, And we come out and I made this one statement. I said, well, we believe in God to heal her. And the devil came out of that woman. And she started screaming and hollering at me and said, she's going to die. And then she's out there talking about what kind of dress to bury her in. There's another couple with me and they were being so friendly to her. And I mean, this is in a big waiting room. She's carrying on this. It was awful. And then so they go in and she's getting me. And so they come back out, said something similar, didn't hear me say it, and she attacks them. We'd go to pray for her in the hospital, and she wouldn't let us come in. She said, well, there's too many of you, but she'd have her old drinking buddies in there. And one day it hurt so bad, and I was walking out of there, it's a great big hospital. You can see for miles all the buildings. And I was walking through there, and there's like a tunnel through there. And I was crying, and I said, God, why? Why? And the Lord spoke to me, they hated me without a cause. If they hated him without a cause, they're going to hate you without a cause. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. What they did to him in Christ, see, if they did it to Christ and you're in him, then they're going to do it to you. And it's coming to this nation. Believe me or don't believe me, it's coming to this nation. And so, now, he said, yea. Now, he's prophesying. How many of you believe he's prophesying under the Holy Spirit? This is not just coming out of his brain. He's prophesying to this couple. This couple. Yea, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also. Because when you're close proximity to someone that the devil's attacking, it's going to come off on you. That's why some people get away from them. That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. What happened when Jesus was at the talked to the woman at the well and said, "Go find your husband. Go get your husband." Said, "I'm not married." Said, "You spoke truthfully. You've been married 5 times. Now you're not. You're living with someone you're not married to." And she said, "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet." What was he doing? Revealing the thoughts of her heart. The thoughts of her heart. What is 1 Corinthians 14? We read that when that gift of the word of knowledge is operating, prophecy is operating, you're going to reveal the secrets of their heart and they'll fall on their face and say, "Of a surety, God's among you." This is what we're called to do. Not go up and out of fear, we won't. And you say it when the Holy Spirit leads you to say it. But so now, and then we read that I'll go on a little bit and say something. But and there was one Anna, prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel, and the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years after her virginity, and she was a widow about 84 years old, and. Which departed not out of the, she's only married 7 years, but she departed not out of the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming into that instant, and I know the Holy Spirit led her there, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. You know why? God sent those two people to Mary and Joseph for a reason. Thank God when we don't know what's going on. Sometimes we're so down, we're so discouraged. And isn't it wonderful that God will send some people by to give you a word of encouragement? These two are going to need it. This couple is going to need it. Now, so we see here that this child is set for the fall and rising in of many in Israel. He's for a sign which shall be spoken against. What is a sign? A sign is the finger of God. It's the finger of God. In Acts 9, we read, 15 and 16, now Saul has come to take to prison to lock up those who are believers. He has letters that give him authority to do this. On the way, he encounters Christ on the road. And so he's blind. He gets there, and the Lord is telling Ananias to go and pray for him. He said, "Wait a minute, Lord, I've heard some bad things about him, and you want me to go pray for him?" See, how many times we let our own mind get in here? Well, he hasn't, but God is going to tell him that he's going to say, "But he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel, for I will show how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Would you like for the Lord, when you're being prophesied to, for God to say, "I'm going to show you what great things you must suffer for my name"? Who else did he say that to? He said it to Peter there when they went back fishing. Got discouraged and went back fishing. And he said, "When you were young, you did what you wanted to. When you're old, somebody's going to take it." He said he signified by what death he would die. Well, Peter has a problem with that. He said, "Well, what about John?" He said, "What's that to you? You follow me." Well, this is not a crowd thing, folks. It's an individual thing that we're following him. And for whatever he has for us. Now, so the Lord is saying here the same thing about this man, Saul, who becomes Paul. He's saying he is set for a sign. The finger of God is going to come through him. The finger of God must come through us. It must come through us. Praise God. I will show him what great things he must suffer. In Jeremiah chapter 1. And I'm sorry, I always have these written down, but I told you all my fiasco with my computer and my tablet, I've forgotten and all that. But, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Behold, I formed you in the belly. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. How many believe God knew you before you were formed in your mother's belly? Well, He did, and He praised God. Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. But the Lord said unto him, Say not, I'm a child, for you shall go to all that I send you, and whatsoever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Now, here we see another person, another man of God, woman of God, person of God, that is set for a sign. One of the prophets, the Lord said, you and your children are set for a sign. Can you think of your family being set for a sign? I've seen children over the years that had a godly mother or dad and so embarrassed by them and just as soon as they could wanted to get out of there and get away from that because they were embarrassed by because their mother worshipped God or whatever, you know. 1 Kings 17. And here we have the account, this whole chapter of the contest, okay? And so Elijah the Tishbite, verse 1, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. According to my word. I don't know how. Could you go to a king you knew as a wicked king and he could have had your head cut off right there, whatever he wanted to do. But this man is a faithful man. He said to these prophets, he said, "Don't they're not going to hear what you've got to say. I'm talking particularly about Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. They're not going to listen to you, but you go anyway. Because God is going to have a witness against everyone that doesn't receive the word of His word. He's going to have a witness against them. You know, nobody's going to stand before God and say, I didn't know. It's not my fault. You can't do this. No, God's son. And if He need, and He will. Look, if we don't make the judgment seen to Christ, we're going to make that other judgment. The great white throne judgment. And He's going to open the books, which is the record of our life. And if you think it's going to be a little courtroom thing like you see with your lawyers out there, and somebody, I told a judge one time, I said, there are more lies told in this courtroom than any place in Hopkins County. And I believe it. I have seen it. I've seen them get up and just lie like a dog. However, a dog lies, but I've seen that. But here he comes, and he's going to tell the truth, and he's going to speak to him, and he says, As the Lord God lives, before whom I stand. That makes a great difference who you're standing before.
Oh, yeah.
Before whom I stand, praise God. And Paul said, Whom I serve. There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, he did not tell him how long. He's not like our government telling those people over in the Middle East how when we're going to pull out. But he said, according to my word. Some of y'all didn't even catch that, did you? Do you tell your enemy when you're going to leave? Well, unless there's a reason for telling them. Now, so he said, no dew, no rain. This morning I was out walking, praying, I cut across, and the dew on the ground. No dew. There's an old farmer there in Peerless when I first came there, and it wouldn't rain. He said, Well, I thank God there is dew. You know, there's dew. No dew nor rain. Until I tell you. But see, God didn't tell him when it would rain again. So he's got to wait on the Lord to tell him when. It's an awesome story, isn't it, here? And then in chapter 18, And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show yourself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So now he knows. He doesn't know what day exactly. Actually, it's going to depend upon him. Remember how he has to go on Mount Carmel there, and he has to go and he puts his head down between his knees, and he prays for that rain. And this goes on seven times. And finally, the seventh time, his servant comes back. Well, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. He said, That's it. Up and out of here. He okay, so I'm going to go tell everybody what's going to happen, but did you know you may have to pray it down? Well, God, you're not doing what you said. Well, did you, you know, we have a part in this thing. Not just, if you look over in James, what does it say about this man? I don't want to read the whole chapter, but James says about this man, prayed fervently, that it would not rain. And then it prayed again that it would rain. Now, Ahab's going to say, oh, you that trouble Israel.
Oh, yeah.
He did. He's the one that prayed it wouldn't rain. Now, I know we're asking for mercy here, but I need to tell you something. What do you mean, mercy? Do you mean mercy the economy is not going to fail in this country? Do you mean that you're still going to have your job, your Social Security check, or your Medicaid? Or do you mean that you still want to keep your house? Or do you want your kids, you don't want your kids messed with? You want to keep that car? You want to make your payments? You want to have your boat? You want to have this? Is that what you're saying, mercy? The mercy of God is that judgment would come on this nation and people would turn back to God. And you see this man here that's willing to suffer. He suffered himself, folks. I mean, he's living by a brook and ravens are feeding him. And then the brook dries up and he said, go to Zarephath. I've got a widow over there that's going to take care of you. Oh, that's awesome. It's just awesome. The whole story. But so he go and then so he tells this man Obadiah, he said, you go and you tell him that I'm here. He said, oh, don't do that to me. I know you. You'll say something and you're gone, and then I'm gonna get my head cut off. He said, no, I'll be here. You go get him, I'll be here. And so he comes. You see, others had sent people to some of the men of God, and when they came, they're all dead, you know. He just pronounced, and they're all dead. So the king had sent more, and then they'd come, and they're all dead. And finally, the last one comes, oh, please don't do that to us. You know, I got a wife and kids, and I love my kids, and please don't do that. All right. So he comes, and he meets him, and the part that I want to get to is the contest. You and I are set for a sign. You and I are set for a contest between not good and evil, between God and the devil. You know, this whole thing's going to come down to that on this earth. It's going to come down to that. Really, I believe it's going to come down, the contest is going to come down between Ishmael and Isaac is what it's going to come down to. In the end, that's what it's going to come to. That's what it basically, can't you see that happening right now? Can't you see this is coming together? Can't you see this Ishmael against Isaac? And Ishmael's going to be all over this world. He's coming here. They said 10,000 were brought in this last year. Yeah. And if they have their way, they're going to bring this like Germany. And then, as Brother Merrill was talking about, then they're going to build their mosque everywhere and they're going to claim that territory. And here it is. And now, so the contest is up there. And he lets him go first. He said, let the God that answers by fire be God. Okay? Not the God that answers by talk. Or the God that answers by whatever. Let the one that answers by fire. Are you afraid to say that? Are you afraid, you know, would you be willing to say what this one man facing 400 of them and the nations watching, could you say? Please don't keep saying you can. You don't know. I don't know. Maybe you can, maybe you know, but I don't know. If God helped me, I could. I haven't done it yet. I used to, when I preach a funeral, you know, I'm just looking for God to raise somebody from the dead. And while nobody's looking, I'd go down and tell that corpse to get up. I'd probably be the first one out the door to dead. But you know what? I'm going to try it. One of these times it might happen. It's not going to happen if you don't do it. There's a lady one time, she went to our church. Now, her husband was a county commissioner. And his mother and dad had gone to our church. And when she died, she made him promise he'd go to church. He said, I will. And he did two times. But he did two times. She meant go to church. And he died of a heart attack, massive heart attack, on a Saturday. They called me to come up there. I got there and she said, Brother Pinson, She's serious. Go in there and raise him from the dead. I want you to go in there and raise him from the dead. Everybody's like, whoa, you know. Not because they thought it was going to happen, because we've got a, you know. So I went in there, and I'm looking at this man. He's still in ICU, and he's black and purple. I'm sorry, I didn't have the faith for it. Maybe you could have, but I did. I didn't have it. And she even got the Baptist pastor to come up there, and he could try it too. And I haven't called fire down. I haven't done a lot of things. You know what? None of that's going to work unless God tells you to, though. None of it works unless God tells you to. Is it like, we're not going to cast out any demon unless the Lord tells us to? You say, well, God wants demons out of everybody. Yes, and He wants everybody saved, not willing any perish, but all come to repentance. But there's their will. They have a will in this. One time I was praying for a young girl at our camp. I found this out. Always the devil, he puts on a show. He'd put on a show the last night of the camp or the last morning service. Put on a show. Try to distract, try to take everything away that those kids got in that camp. And sometimes very effective. The devil's not stupid, folks. Why did he wait till the last? So, because you don't have an opportunity to, you know, straighten that out. And there's a girl out there, and I mean, God was moving to get filled with the Holy Spirit, and she's outside underneath, outside the tabernacle, and laying there, oh, Brother Pinson, come over. And she's like that, you know, and couldn't speak, and it was awful. I never seen anything like that before. And they want me to cast the devil out of her. Well, there was a man there that was over Teen Challenge, and I thought, well, if anybody knows how he does, he must know. So they went and got him. He kind of looks at, bye. There's some women praying, wasn't anything happening. And I said, well, I'm going to have to try to do something here. When I brought this girl down here, and we're going to get sued because she's messed up. And I got down and I was telling, and the Lord gave me this to tell her to tell it to go. And she couldn't even talk, y'all. She could not even talk, and she's all contorted. And I said, tell it to go. Tell it to go. And finally, she could barely get the words out. And she did. And it went. The thing left. I thought, well, oh, praise God. I got this. Well, they were going on what we call a midnight hike, but it wasn't a real midnight. It was close to midnight down this road. And it was fun. They loved it. It was that way out in the country. And so they said, well, can she go? And I thought, well, she's delivered. She can go. It wasn't long. Here they come, Brother Pinson. You got to come up here. You got to come. She's laying in the middle of the road, and we can't do anything with her. And I went up there, and I said, okay, I remember how to do this. So I told her to tell it to go. And she got okay. I mean, really, it's a miracle. She got okay. Then the next morning, in the service, I looked back there, and guess what? And she's doing it again. And I said, oh God, don't leave a scene right here. And I told her, I bow your heads. And I just spoke. And she knew I was speaking. I said, tell it to go. Tell it to go. And so she did. And then she's okay. In case you think, let me tell you something. And I was going to preach on this. But he said the house is swept. It's and garnished, meaning decorated, and empty. Empty. But that devil is going through dry places, can't find any rest. He only finds rest in a human being. When he said, when they speak to Jesus, say, you come to torment us before our time, means you're going to cast us out. That's torment for them. They need to be in someone. And so they, he came back and found it went and got seven more worse than himself, because this time he's going to make sure he doesn't get kicked out. Whoever put him out the other time, whoever was the minister, whatever, this time they're going to be reinforcements. Okay. Now, and I thank God for anyone that can deal with those people. Yes, praise God. Let me ask you a question. Do they always have the person that's demon-possessed, do they always have to be able to say that or agree with you? No. The man in the tombs had no control over that. He had no control. It's up to the Lord to do that. Well, do you always have to have faith to be healed? No. Sometimes it's not your faith. You don't. When Jesus would raise people from the dead, now you tell me they had faith laying in that, you know, dead, that they had faith. But he did. And then they brought one to him, you know, where they opened up they took the roof off and let him down. And Jesus saw their faith. Not his faith, but their faith. We can help each other's faith. Praise God. And there is a gift of faith that goes beyond anything that you can. One of those nine gifts of the Holy Ghost, it goes beyond any of that. And by the way, it's not our faith anyway. He gives every man a measure of faith that's enough to get saved. But then there is the fruit of the Spirit, faith. And then there's the gift of the Holy Ghost, it's faith. And this faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. You can increase your faith. You can do that by the Word. Okay, so they're going to have this contest. We are in that contest. When you got saved, you signed up for it, whether you realized it or not. And you're set for a sign to be spoken against. And a sword is going to pierce through some people's hearts that are around you. You see this. Whatever Jesus lived out, we're going to live out. Whatever these people in this book lived out, you're going to live out. I know that, so. I have been in courtroom and court and been betrayed in court. Jesus was betrayed, I've been betrayed. I didn't get hung on a cross for it, but it hurt. And there were lies. And I wish I had to tell y'all, but I don't. So, he tells them, you go first. And what are they doing? I mean, they're putting on a show. He said, well, maybe he's asleep. They yell louder. They're cutting themselves. They're dancing. They're hopping around. This is a contest. This is a picture of the enemy in this contest and all the junk he does. Churches that try to keep up with the world to get people in, they're foolish. We don't have the money they have. We don't have the people they have. We don't have sometimes the technology they have. I was at a friend's, a pastor, he's another denomination, and we go there and pick up food from him to come and distribute it at our church. And anyway, so he was showing me his sound booth. And I'm sitting there like, oh my God. It's blow your mind. I mean, he can turn that thing on and rattle the building. And they've got a mixer board about this long, about this big, that you'd love to have. And it's got a screen on it. It's digital. And you push this button, these things are moving like this. You could be dumb and operate that. This, you know. And then he turns around. He's got these things built up here. And he said, well, this one costs $400. That costs $400. This one up here costs $800. And he's got all that. And I'm thinking about, I don't even want you to see what we have. Somebody gave us our mixer board. And somebody gave us our speakers. And I wired them with some, whatever that wire is that you put for a lamp, you know. And so that worked. But it works, praise God. Okay, so they're putting on their show. We cannot keep up with them. We're going to have all this entertainment, activities for youth, trying to lure them to our church. We cannot keep up with them. You can't make a movie like they make. You can't do these things. So, they get through with their show. We're in a contest. You're in a contest. You cannot defeat the devil on his territory or on his using his devices. Are you hearing me? You cannot keep up with him. This is a spiritual thing. Our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to pull down strongholds. And so then when their time's up, he has to pour water, all this water on the sacrifice. He builds the altar. By the way, his altar is not built out of beautiful cut stones. They were forbidden to build those altars in that wilderness out of hewn stones. Why? Because they would begin to worship the altar. I believe we have a lot of cathedrals and modern day looking things. Daniel's sister pastor and I, we were taking some furniture, I told you, to this black man that sings under the bridge. He's good. I mean, he is good. And we missed a turn, went off there, and I can show you a picture of it. Maybe I told you this, I don't know. But anyway, we're going down the wrong road, and we see this steeple. I mean, it's sticking up into the heavens. My Lord, what is that? Yeah. Whoa! It's on a hill. Makes it higher than ever. And so we both said, we got to see this. And we got time, we got to see. We went over there. And on the way, we passed T.D. Jakes' church, and that's pretty impressive. And then, but right past it is the Dallas Baptist University. And it don't matter what university, they all try to do this stuff. So we drove in there. Oh, what a campus. You know, it's to die for, to be there. And all these fine-looking young people walking around. Obviously, they don't live under a bridge. And so we find this thing. And it is massive. It is awesome. It is a carved altar. Are you catching what I'm saying? Spending millions and millions of dollars on facilities. When he said, don't you use stones that haven't been touched. Now, I know later on they built the temple and it was all carved and everything. But but by the way, you know what? The disciples is taking Jesus on a tour of the temple and the grounds. And said, do you see all this, Jesus? He said, well, it's going to all, there won't be one stone left on the other. That's what he thought about it. Praise God. So, all right, so he says a simple prayer, let the God that answers by fire be gone. And that fire comes down. That fire comes down, praise God. And when it comes down, it says the fire of God, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them. Then he tells Ahab that rain's going to come and get off this mountain. He goes and prays, as I told you earlier. So we see the contest, and we see what happens here for the finger. In Exodus chapter 7, verse 8, Exodus 7 and 8. This is something I tell the young preachers in my church. We have several. I said, please don't be flipping through your Bible trying to find these verses. Write them down. Here I am. I'm sorry I have to. But chapter 7, verse 8. And the Lord spoke. 7 and 8. And the Lord spoke. And Aaron forescore unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you. Then shall you say unto Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh. Now what do we have here? We're going to have a contest. And they did so as the Lord had commanded. I can call it a contest, but it's really warfare. You understand that? And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Wow. And Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers now. He called his out there. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. And they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. Oh, you're outnumbered. Moses, you got one, they got all these. Don't be impressed by it, folks. The devil can keep up with you for a while. Or seem to. He can throw a big show, cutting themselves, jumping on the altar, hollering. Don't be impressed by it if you know what God's told you to do. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Now, in verse 20. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he comes forth to the water, and saying to him, thus says the Lord God, let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon you and upon your servants and upon your people, and into your houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground wherein they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, and no swarms of flies shall be there to the end, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. God wants His glory to fill all the earth. That's what you read in Numbers chapter 14. He wanted the children of Israel to go in, and He wanted to show His glory and give them that land, and they refused to. how many times we refuse and He wants to show His glory. He wants His glory to fill the earth. Remember the man that was born blind? And the disciples said, Lord, who did sin? This man or his parents? And He said, neither, but that the glory of God may be manifested in him. Folks, we're in a contest. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about His glory being revealed in this earth. And the devil's against that. And I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. And the Lord did so. And there came a grievous swarm of flies in the house of Pharaoh and his servants and houses in all the land of Egypt. And the land was corrupted by reason of the swarms of flies. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go, you sacrifice your God in the land. And this continues on. But what is happening here, you read this in chapter 8 also. I'm sorry, I should have been in 7 there, 20. Please forgive me. And Moses and Aaron did so, and the Lord commanded. And he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned into blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt, and the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. Okay, that's where I got off. 8:6, and Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came and covered the land of Egypt, and the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs in the land of Egypt. So the enemy is staying right with him, see, so it seems like anyway, right with him. And then in verse 14, and they gathered them together upon the heaps in the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, you know, it's respite. How many people see that? I told you how many people, they get messed up, they get caught in something, they're embarrassed, humiliated. Maybe they're going to lose their wife, lose their job. And here they come to church with a big old Bible and sit down, and all you think is a saint been there for 10 years. And as soon as they get a respite, just like Pharaoh, is back to it again. He hardened his heart, hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out your rod and smite the dust of the land, and it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And it did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. And all the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. What do you think they're doing? Scratching. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice. Listen, but they could not. But they could not. So there was lice upon man and upon beast. Listen, and then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. This is the finger of God. God, in this contest, God wants you and me to manifest the finger of God. The finger of God, praise God. Now, in Luke 11:20, when Jesus is casting out devils, and they're saying, well, you're doing it by the power of Beelzebub. But he says, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is coming to you with the finger of God. What is the finger of God? In Matthew 12, we read where this incident is told to him. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? And Luke 11:22, and Jesus is saying, when a stronger man, stronger than he, shall come upon him and overcome him and takes away all his armor wherein he's trusted and divides his spoils. In these contests, we have to be stronger than the strong man. When the stronger one comes, then we see who's going to win this contest. I can tell you that Elijah, there on Mount Carmel, where he's the one that set this thing up, but God told him to, you know that. And when he sets it up, who looks stronger? 400 prophets of Baal with all their stuff they're wearing and all their show. And I don't know, they probably brought their concession stands out there. And they got it going. And here's this one man over here looks like... They found out though who the stronger one was. You and I are called into these situations to be the stronger one. Not by our own power, but by the power of God. We're called to be the stronger one. Every day almost you live, there are going to be situations, contests, that God has called us to. He set us for a sign. He set us to be the finger of God, to be the stronger one, so that God gets the glory. Because God's very intent on receiving the glory. And no, my glory, he said he wouldn't share with any man. And people that tried to take his glory ended up in a pretty bad situation. Remember when Herod made the speech? And they said, oh, it's the voice of God, and not of a man. And the scripture said he didn't give God the glory, and worms ate him immediately. Oh, you mess with God's glory, you shouldn't have done that. We're there, we're sent there, we have an assignment to be the stronger one if God sent us there. Don't go where he didn't send you. We were in Mexico one time, and in this town is a very backward town. I mean, they didn't, very few vehicles there. They were plowing with mules. Didn't have sewer system. It run down the road. And we were walking around, me and one of the assistant pastors who spoke Spanish. And so we looked down there, there's these two ladies talking to these teenage boys. And he said, well, I'm going to go down there. I said, don't do it. Oh, I'm going to, don't do it. Well, he did. They were Jehovah's Witnesses. They're all over Mexico, Seventh-day Adventists, whatever, besides the Catholics. And so he goes over there, and they get in an argument with him. And I kept saying, Jose, let's go. He wasn't going to give up. Finally, he gave up. We walked away. He said, I feel like I need a bath. You let God pick your contests and battles. You don't pick them. There's some we need to walk away from and let them go. Oh, how much trouble we can get into when we try to set up something. Or we see a situation and we're going to come in there and we're going to do something. It's like the seven sons of Sceva. If you read that, it says they took it upon themselves to cast that demon out of that man. They took it upon themselves. That's why I'm saying it's so important that we hear from God. And so they're going to try to do this, and you know how that ended up. They run out of the house. One man beats up those seven men naked and bleeding because they took it upon themselves. Not everything we see is something we're to get. I've made so many mistakes in my life. I have made so many mistakes as a pastor. Reacting to things. I see the flesh rises up. That's just all I can say. The flesh rises up. I'm going to do something about this. Yeah, you're going to do something all right. You're going to go in the devil's camp, took back what he stole from him. Please, you sing it all you want, go for it. So, I'm not God and I'm not the Holy Ghost to tell you what to do. So, there's this one lady, and I preached her funeral just a few weeks ago. I went there in 1978 and this family was in the church. And they didn't know God from totem pole or anything. They didn't know God. I'm sorry, I'm not being ugly. They didn't know God. But they were religious. And so she'd been off into some things and hearing some things. And one night we're having that test. We were in the old building and it was almost full. And this sweet little lady, I asked her to lead testimony service. Y'all ever remember the testimony services? Do you remember the prayer request part two? You went there where they had the prayer request, and it just gets ridiculous. Everybody's making their announcement about how somebody at work, and then somebody. And it reminds me when I was a child, my aunt and uncle had a little store down in East Texas. And in the summertime, they'd sit down under those big old oak trees on the old church benches they got from somewhere. And I'm just a little kid sitting and I'm listening. And they're going around the circle telling about their ailments. Till they knew they were getting too far out there. People knew that's not so. So they'd start telling about an aunt and uncle that had an ailment. And I said, God, if this is all there is to look for when I get old, I'll tell about my ailments. But anyway, so she's leading it, and this lady gets up and says, we're all saved in here, and we're all filled with the Holy Ghost. I go, uh-oh. And she starts saying this stuff, and the little lady leading the testimony, so I could see she was getting real nervous, and I just went up and said, "That's okay, you can sit down now." Well, I'm going to fix it. So I open that Bible, and I start preaching on the Holy Ghost. Well, she stands up and starts arguing with me on the floor. She's over on that side. She's arguing with me. Now, her husband's about this tall, but she's arguing with me. And I said, "Would you please sit down?" She wasn't going to sit down. I fell right into the trap, folks. I took it on myself. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so, in a little while, she falls down the floor like she fell out in the spirit. She straightens her dress, puts her Bible on her chest. And those women in that church went wild. "Oh, hallelujah." You know, she's slain the spirit. "Oh, no, I don't think so." And she's been saying that you don't have to speak in tongues to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know what you believe, but anyway, read Acts 10:11 for that one.
Yeah.
And so she's down there, and then they're all praying, and half the church has already left, never comes back. I'm serious. Most of them are young people. She's sitting down there, and then she starts speaking in a tongue. They really went wild. "Oh, she's got the Holy Ghost." I said, "Oh, I thought, no, I don't think so." All I knew to do is said, "No man can say Christ is Lord except by the Spirit." So I get down there and I'm whispering, "Is Jesus Lord? Is Jesus Lord?" See if she can answer me, which she didn't. But so when the whole thing's finally over, she's walking out. She shook my hand, smiled, said, "I'm praying for you, Brother Benson." I knew what. She invited one of the couples in the church, had two boys to go to her house, and we lost them that night. But I preached her funeral. She came by one day, and this is sad. She came by one day, and I was walking across the parking lot. Sometimes walking across the parking lot's good. One time I was walking across there, and a man pulled up and said, I've got some back ties I need to pay. I said, "Okay, good, we'll take it." He wrote the check for $8,000 and something. Then I'll just walk up down the parking lot. But I was walking across the parking lot. There's divine appointments. So I'm walking across the parking lot, and this nice truck pulls up. And this lady rolls down the window, and she's talking to us. "Who in the world are you?" It's her. But I've seen her on and off through the years. They'd come visit the church, you know, buried the hatchet, whatever. And I got in the truck, and she doesn't have any hair. She looks awful, pitiful. She's got cancer. And I sat in there a long time. I prayed for her and encouraged her. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something. People can make heaven and not live up to my requirements, okay? Mm-hmm. There was a lady in the church, and I just knew she went to hell. And she had run off every pastor they ever had. One time I sit in her house, and she said, "Brother Pence, if I've ever done anything against you, I want you to forgive me." And I thought to myself, "Well, you need to tell what you've done." Because she didn't. I didn't accept it. God dealt with me. He dealt with me hard. And He made me understand that she didn't make it to heaven. I wasn't God, and I wasn't the judge. So be careful, okay?
Yes, sir.
Taking it upon ourselves to do these things. So, the strong man. Now, how do we express or manifest the finger of God? 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. That's the finger of God. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, from our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. That's the finger of God. And in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 2:4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's the finger of God. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of God, but in the power of God. That's the finger of God. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 3:6, who, this is God, speaking of God, also has made us able ministers of the New Testament. That's the finger of God.
Amen.
Listen, if all we've got is something to say and we don't have any, something God taught me, I have to do it. Sometimes it's very hard to do it. It's not enough to preach, but we have to preach the Word. We have to minister the Spirit. Look at Jesus' ministry. Always He did both. Sometimes He healed first, then taught or preached. Sometimes he preached first, then he healed. But if we don't give them both of it, we didn't give them the full package, the full gospel. People need the Spirit of God ministered to them. Even under bridges, they need that. You know, I thought, no, God can't move under this bridge. I found out different. He can heal under the bridge. We're picking out who we think God can touch, who He can't. Ought to God, it's not up to us. If you're going to go around looking for the ones to you are, I am the ones to witness to or talk to. And my, don't go up and say, are you saved? Unless the Holy Ghost tells you to say that. They're all saved. Maybe. People are getting bolder about that, you know. He said, able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, the outward forms, but of the Spirit, the finger of God. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives a life. Gives life. Acts 1, Jesus said, you shall receive power. He said, you tarry, you wait for the promise of the Father. That's the Holy Ghost. You receive power. Why? So you can be the finger of God in these contests. Luke 24:49. Jesus said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. That's the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, He's with you, but He shall be in you. But tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, so you can be the finger of God. Do you get up in the morning and say, Lord, use me today. Let me be your finger today. Even if you're taking groceries, if you're feeding people, if you're going on the bridge, if you're, you know, we take shoes and clothes and we take whatever. We take gloves in the winter. We take baby wipes, you know. They don't have showers out there, by the way. John 14:12. Verily, verily, I have a grandson that my other son, his mother will not let him go under the bridge. He might get something. They might attack him. I don't know what she thinks, but John 14:12. Verily, verily, I send you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. This is the finger of God. You know, when the children of Israel were going, they'd gone through the Red Sea on dry ground, and Pharaoh essayed to do the same. He said, well, if they can do it, we can do it. They can't. And they find out. And he'd already found it. But God had hardened his heart. So they chased, they're going after him. And God, the scripture says, God started taking their chariot wheels off. And they cried out, hey, the God of Israel is fighting against us. And they turned around and tried to go back. But just like God said, every one of them got drowned. And when Moses told them, he said, you see this Egyptian army you're so scared of? You'll never see them again. In a sense, they saw them because their dead bodies were washing up on the shore. But it's over with. Oh my. That people could say things, make prophecies, speak words like that. And when I'm praying for some, sometimes the Lord tells me to say something. Oh Lord, I can't say that. What if it doesn't happen? The finger of God. He said, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall you do. Now here, almost every commentator says, well, he just means more works, not greater works. Really? Don't you think then he would have said more instead of greater? Does he know what he says? Is every word in this book intentional? Greater works. Peter's shadow healed people. Handkerchiefs from Paul's body healed people. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost, and Peter pronounces death and they drop dead. You don't read any one of those three in the life of Jesus, okay? Not being, I'm just saying, I mean, he's the Son of God, but greater works. And in Mark 16, tells us, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. First one. They shall speak with new tongues. He said, if they drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt them. They'll take up serpents, meaning like Paul when the serpent clanked on him. He took it up and shook it off. Wasn't playing with it. And then if you drink any, and if you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That, folks, is the finger of God. The nine gifts of the Holy Ghost are the finger of God. That's why in 1 Corinthians 14, as I mentioned earlier, and when you reveal the secrets of their heart, they'll fall on their face and say, but surely God's among you. The finger of God. And in Mark 16 it says, and they went forth preaching the word of God, working with them, with signs following. The finger of God. Now, I want to give you this one last scripture here in James 5:11. Job got involved in the contest, didn't he? He didn't ask to be. You remember Job? He didn't ask to be. The disciples, just when he said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men, they didn't know what they were getting into. The battle, the warfare. Peter. When the Lord spoke to Samuel and said, I've found a man after my own heart, David didn't know what he was getting into. Job. But you count them happy which endure. Endure what? This contest. Maybe the Lord will give you a better word than that. This struggle. You know, for Esau and Jacob, the struggle began in the womb. This struggle that we're in. And by the way, did you know God took sides before they were even born? He did. Well, that's not fair. Oh, really? Who are we to say what's fair and what's not fair?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, in Philippians 2, it says that he, though he was equal with God, he did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped. Follow, if you see anything, even in the churches, grasping for equality. And it even goes past that for preeminence. Sister Jerry's talking about pride. Preeminence. And 3 John, where he said Theotokos wants the preeminence. And he doesn't want to let anybody in there, and he's puffed up. Pride. Now, and can I just say, along with that, you remember Uzziah, the man, mighty man of God? When he was strong, he went into the house of God and tried to do something that appertained not to him. If I've seen anything in the ministry, I've seen people trying to do things in the church or in ministry that appertains not to them. And the whole purpose of that is to destroy what God's doing. Okay? They want the preeminence. They want to do... Jesus, in that inner... Jesus said, when you go to... You're invited to a feast, you don't go to the head table. Right?
Right.
You go way down there somewhere, lest you be told to move back. That's a good principle to remember. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and you've seen the end of the Lord. There's an end to this contest, folks. It will endure, and it will be patient. The end of the Lord. Please, let me hear what I'm saying. You can't just be saved and then live happily ever after on this earth in a bed of roses, and you're just going to wake up one day in heaven and no problems in between here and there. That's not what's going to happen. I don't care what Joel Osteen tells you or anybody else. That's not what's going to happen. You're going to go through the fire. Your faith is going to be tried as by fire. You're going to be on Mount Carmel. You're going to be Moses and Aaron before Pharaoh. It's coming. The end of the Lord. That the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. You see the end of Job. When he was all over Job, God bless Job, right? Had twice as much. But above all things, my brethren, I want to go back up to verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Take them for an example. Well, praise God. Sister Jane, thank you for coming and helping me. Helping us.
Thank you, Lord.
It is the finger of God being a pawn on God's chessboard.
Okay.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Young ladies, I thank God for what God's doing in your life. I thank God for your leader. I thank God. But you didn't just... I'm telling you something from the Lord here. You listen. You didn't just go there to get free of your demons, of your addictions. If that's all you're doing, you're going to be back where you were and worse.
Right.
You went there. I don't know if anybody's told you, perhaps, many times, I don't know. You went there to become a pawn on his chessboard. You went there to be the finger of God. There, because others there need you. We operate a ministry in our church. I know what I'm talking about. But you went there, and you're coming out. You're to be the finger of God. It's never going to be the same again. I don't think, and any of us, don't think I'm just going to go get deliverance at Lake Hamilton and get these little problems in my life fixed, or big problems, and I'm going to quit looking at pornography, and then I'm going to have good relations with my wife, and she's going to keep me in. And my kids are going, I'm going to be a better father. Well, that's wonderful. We must be. But there's more to it. There's more to it. Very serious. Very serious. If you're thinking about the ministry, it's more than getting behind a pulpit. If you want to sing and somebody clap for you because you sang, and maybe you get good enough to make records or, well, CDs. I'm sorry, that's dating myself. CDs. And sell them. You know, there's so many that start out singing gospel songs and end up singing something else.
Right.
One of them, the King of Rock, ended up dying from a drug overdose. Go look at his house in Memphis. Such a sad end. He wouldn't be the finger of God. It may be scary, folks. I do a lot of things. I'm so afraid. I'm scared. I fear. It's not wrong to have fear. It's what do you do with your fear? It's not even wrong to be angry. Jesus was angry. It's what you do with your anger. Praise God. We've heard such wonderful words in this meeting. It's helped me. I trust it's helped you. We're going to go leave here, hopefully, and be the finger of God. In these contests, some of them are going to walk into blinded. We didn't ask for them. Job never asked for that. He didn't like it. He complained about it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I hear people say, why me? Why me? Because you signed up. That's why you. Praise God. If you want prayer, if you'll come and stand. If these other guys can keep you at 10 o'clock at night or 5:30 or whatever, would you please give time for prayer this morning? You get home just quicker if you put God first. If you'll come for prayer. If you want prayer, if you'll come. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I appreciate everything. I don't care if it's 11 o'clock. Thank God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We went to prayer. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You want to be the finger of God? You don't even have to volunteer for this. Just get saved. Really saved. Really find God. That's where a lot of people cut out of this. You know that? The parable of seed and sower. When affliction and persecution come, they're out. Count me out. I'm through with this. Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.